Hello, hello, hello. Hope you guys had a good lunch. Welcome to Managing Linux with System Center and PowerShell DSE at 1:55 here on this Friday afternoon. My name is Anurag Gupta. I'm a program manager in Microsoft's Open Source Technology Center. We're organizationally under Windows Server, and we do the work for Linux and Hyper-V, Linux and Azure, as well as Linux and Unix management with System Center, as well as some other open source projects revolving around PowerShell DSE. So the first slide I want to show you is Microsoft loves Linux. If you were in my session yesterday, you would have seen this as well. It's great, coming to a Microsoft conference and being able to say this. The slide was actually presented much higher up the chain. Our CEO, Satya Nadella, presented this last October, and us in the Open Source Technology Center have taken it as our kind of motto, mantra, logo for what we do and how Linux is very impactful in the world of what we're doing. And so I always get asked, why does Microsoft love Linux? And the truth is, your data center reality is you're operating Windows workloads, you're operating Linux workloads. You want them to run great regardless of platform, and you want the simplicity of a unified system management. You don't want to have Nagios for the Linux guys and Ops Manager for the Windows guys. You want a unified, one single pane of glass view for your entire enterprise. And we understand it. Microsoft gets it. We're trying to make sure that we can deliver that unified systems management layer with all of our management products. And so the focus of the session, you're going to see a variety of environments across the week, going in the public cloud, private cloud, your traditional physical environments, and virtualized. And the good thing is Windows and Linux is going to run across all of these. But for this session, we're going to really focus about your data center, what you have in your environment, in your data center, or your Microsoft private cloud. And we're going to talk about managing these workloads with System Center 2016. And so the agenda for today, we're going to start with System Center Linux feature overview. What do System Center products look like, and how do they interact with Linux? Then we'll talk a little bit about monitoring Linux applications. We'll start with Java Application Servers, JEE, then Apache HTTP Web Server, then MySQL, extensibility. If these aren't the applications you're running, how do you go about bringing that into your management layer? And then what's new for System Center for Unix and Linux? In 2016, what do the features look like for Operations Manager or Configuration Manager 2015? And then lastly, we're going to talk about PowerShell DSE for Linux and some of the scenarios that that product unlocks. So, quick Linux feature overview. Let's talk about running Linux. So, if you're running Linux in your data center, at the very core of it, if with Microsoft, you're going to be using Hyper-V and Linux Integration Services. So, Linux Integration Services are going to be the device drivers that facilitate kind of that near bare metal performance between the hypervisor and your guest OS. And we've actually done the work to contribute that code into the Linux kernel, so that way when you go out and grab your latest Linux distribution, you'll have those drivers built in, and we also have a separate download mechanism as well. And then Virtual Machine Manager, if you have a host of different hypervisors and you want to manage that with a System Center component, you'll be using Virtual Machine Manager, and you can use that to define VM and service templates. You can control the whole fabric with that piece of a System Center. And you can also install Windows Azure Pack on top. And Linux works just as well in Windows Azure Pack as it does in SVMM, just alongside Windows. And then the new one is Azure Stack. How does Linux play into Azure Stack? And Azure Stack at its core is going to be Azure in your data center. You're going to be able to use the same SDKs that you use for the public cloud down here in the private cloud. And there's kind of been some details released about Azure Stack. And the big thing to note about Linux there is it's a first-class citizen. It's right there alongside Windows and what scenarios we need to deliver with Azure Stack. So when Azure Stack releases, you'll see Linux as a fundamental part. And then stepping into managing Linux with System Center components, we'll have some System Center components as well as PowerShell DSE, desired state configuration. And while that's more of a Windows Server thing, it really fits the whole management layer very well. And so with System Center Operations Manager, that's going to be your kind of day-to-day monitoring. You'll be able to get health and performance metrics. You'll be able to monitor log files. You can specify regex to get exactly what you need and bring up those alerts. And then also on the layer of top with applications, your line of business apps, whether they're JEE application servers, whether they're MySQL databases, or Apache HTTP web servers. And then System Center Configuration Manager. This one is a great one. It has three kind of main feature sets that we bring to Linux. The first is hardware inventory. So we'll go out to your Linux and Unix systems and go and retrieve this rich hardware inventory, whether it's network adapters, installed applications, processors. We go out and grab that automatically. The second is going to be scheduling. So if you have this nice scheduling set up with maintenance windows on the Windows side, you can expect that same level of fidelity on the Linux side as well. And then lastly is kind of unified reporting with Configuration Manager. So since we're using the same WMI classes that Config Manager is using on the Windows side, the Linux things plug straight into there. So for example, SMS computer system also contains Linux information as well. And when you go run reports, you can go out and grab all the information for all your Linux packages as well. And then desired state configuration. Once again, this is not part of the System Center suite of products, but it is a declarative configuration platform that allows you to specify, this is where I want my end state to be, and then you enact DSC, and DSC will make it so. It allows you to do continuous delivery and continuous integration. There were some great sessions this week about the desired state configuration, if any of you guys saw those. And it can also look at configuration drift. So say something goes AWOL with your firewall, DSC can make sure that we revert it back into the state that you need it to be. And then Data Protection Manager. So this allows you to do live backup with your Linux VMs the same way you would do with your Windows VMs. On the Linux VM side, we've actually done the work on the kernel level and made sure that when you call that Hyper-V API, that we go out and flush a file system consistent backup for Linux just like you would on Windows. We're not application consistent on Linux, but we are file system consistent there. And then deploying Linux applications. I get this question along a lot is, you know, I have this big System Center suite of products. I want to use it to deploy my Linux applications. I want it to feed into the same reporting that I have. How do I go about doing that? And the two products you're going to be using for that are going to be Configuration Manager and Virtual Machine Manager / Azure Pack. And Configuration Manager allows you, once again, to schedule kind of software distributions. And with those software distributions, you can specify a specific script to run. It doesn't have to be Bash or Shell. It could be anything you want, Python, Perl, you name it. And then you can also deliver packages with the existing hardware you have. So if you have distribution points and management points, you can dovetail your Linux infra with that as well. So you can go out and grab RPM packages and bring those down to your Linux systems and then run updates that way and do patching that way. And then VMM has this concept of run once commands that will run the first time you provision a machine. And in there, you can specify a lot of kind of nifty config options. And then one of the last pieces is bootstrapping your own configuration. This is using that run once command with VMM or using the Configuration Manager software distribution and then adding in pieces to say, hey, Puppet, I want Puppet to go start up right when I provision a machine with VMM and go get the proper config. Using DSC and saying, hey, DSC, make it so as soon as I provision my machine with VMM. And then on the Config Manager side, you also get the added option of monitoring those deployments of those bootstraps. So if I go and say I want Puppet to run on Config Manager, I go and do a distribution there, and then I can actually get reporting to see how many of those machines got a proper return status from that Puppet command being run on those Linux machines. So monitoring Linux applications. So on Windows, monitoring with Ops Manager is kind of, it's a slam dunk, right? You have IIS, you have AD, and the management packs for those applications are being written by the product groups themselves. You're getting the first class experience. And then when you come over to the Linux side, you have these really nice Linux OS MPs, but all of a sudden the applications you're running on top, like MySQL, Apache, you have to go to a third party to go get that management. And especially when you have a LAMP stack and kind of the free nature of that, it's hard to justify paying additional management fees on top. And so what we've done is said, hey, from a product group standpoint, we're going to go out and tackle some of these biggest applications you have running atop your Linux operating systems. So in 2012, we started with Java application servers. We tackled the top four JE app servers at the time, Apache Tomcat, Red Hat JBoss, which has now been renamed to Wildfly, IBM WebSphere, and Oracle WebLogic. And then new for 2016, we've introduced MySQL database monitoring and Apache web server monitoring. These include brand new management packs that will ship in the same style that the Java application servers do. And it allows you to get some performance metrics like server engine performance, health, what databases do I have in my MySQL server. And then on the Apache web server side, you can get virtual host information, as well as certificate information if those are expiring or not. So let's step into monitoring JE application servers. So we once again came out in 2012. We went after the top four JE application servers. And there's two styles of monitoring here. We have a basic monitoring, and we have a more advanced, higher fidelity monitoring. And the basic monitoring is enabled through Linux, Unix, or Windows, and will actually automatically go out and discover those Java application servers running in those environments. And then what we'll do is go create our entities based off that and tell you whether or not the application server is running. And that's great, but you also want a much deeper, richer, I want to know my JVM metrics, I have custom apps running inside my Java application server that I want to monitor, how do I go do that? And so what we did, is we went and made this open source Java applet called BeanSpy. And you go out and you can get BeanSpy via the System Center Operations Manager console via task. You can go get it from GitHub, and then you can go deploy it inside your Java application server. And what that application does is it uses JMX to connect to the MBean server and return all that information from the JVM. And then if you have additional custom applications, you can use JMX to instrument those properties or even operations as well. And so then stepping into a quick demo. Let's connect one more time. So what I'm going to show for this demo is a Java application server, IBM WebSphere. And just kind of go through what that looks like discovered and kind of a deeper level of monitoring you can do there as well. If that's not going to work, I made sure to have, Okay, fantastic. So I have my WebSphere application servers, and right off the bat, WebSphere has these profiles. And so I automatically go out and deploy this management pack, and I'll automatically go get the information about these WebSphere profiles. And so I get, you know, hey, is it healthy? What does it kind of look like in terms of HTTP port? What does the node, cell, server all look like? And then, like I said, you have another deeper level of monitoring where I can go grab this application that Microsoft's developed called BeanSpy. And I can go and grab it and then deploy it into the server to go get additional metrics. And then I can, you know, enable the deep monitoring if I want it or disable if I do not. So if I go into deep monitor profiles, you see I have my deep monitor stuff, and you can get all your JVM statistics from here as well. And then under applications, we'll automatically go out once BeanSpy is deployed, and we'll find all the applications. And from a kind of security point of view, how do I go out and make sure this application is good? We have HTTP over authentication. We have HTTPS. We have specific security domain requirements. It's all in the management pack guide alongside the actual MP. And so I also get performance metrics right off the bat. So I have garbage collection, I have some heap memory, just-in-time compiler, and I have my threads. And these are, you know, standard out of the box. But the more interesting piece is, what if I have a custom application? So what I've gone ahead and done is I've built this, you know, plant enterprise while I was here at New Zealand, and I said, I'm going to be selling plants here while I'm here. And now my business has actually gotten so large that now I need to monitor it using Ops Manager. And so I want to make sure that I'm delivering these plants at a relatively well rate and that my website isn't down. And so what I can do is I can go over here into authoring, and we've actually built these MPs out, and they're part of the natural Java application management pack release. And you can go and customize what type of availability monitoring you want to have or performance monitoring. So if you have an MBean that has some specific performance properties, we can go grab that. But if you also want just kind of availability, like the three states operations manager creates, such as critical, warning, and healthy, we have the option to do that as well. And the best part about this is if you do a lot of MBean stuff and you're using JConsole, it's really annoying to go start JConsole up on the management server and then connect to it. We actually have made sure that you can run all of this from the Operations Manager console, so you're not switching between a bunch of tooling just to get those monitors crisp and right. So I can run it. I can run an MBean query, and I can find the exact MBean I want. And I also have the option to look at MBean operations and look at the return from one of those. So in this example, I have get status as an operation for this specific MBean. My website's backed by an Apache Derby database, and I want to make sure that if I do a get status operation on it, I get a good response. And so here I have 99, which is the exact response I want. So I'll go ahead and say that's what I need, and I can go define my health state over here. And the good thing here is if you don't know XPath, you don't want to bother with that, you can just click here, and we'll automatically populate the XPath there. And you can select the specific value, the type, and the exact operation. And this is using all of System Center Operations Manager Expression Builder. So you have a really rich set of what you need there. And then, of course, you have alerting as well. So that's just a Java application servers. We also have OSS management packs. So this has actually been released publicly now in the preview with System Center 2016 TP2. These are the same management packs you can use with System Center 2016 TP3, which was released a couple weeks ago as well. These are going to be joining JE as kind of our foundational open source application monitoring MPs. Our approach has been to build these SIM providers. So if you're familiar with our Linux agent on the operations manager side, we use a SIM server called Open Management Infrastructure, OMI, and all of these open source monitoring additions are built as SIM providers. And the big thing that I want to get from you guys out here is we want to know what you guys need next. So if you guys have MongoDB in your enterprise and you want to bring that under Operations Manager, if you have Hadoop for Linux, you know, we're really interested in hearing what our customers need and tackling that as we keep moving the product forward. So let's step into monitoring MySQL servers. So of course, there's a new MySQL Server Management Pack. It uses the deployable MySQL provider. It's the SIM provider. And we actually chose to make sure that when you actually install the Operations Manager Linux agent for 2016, we'll auto-detect if MySQL's there or not. And we'll lay down our foundational bits. And as soon as you put the MP there, you'll auto-discover the MP MySQL instance running. And we have support for MySQL version 5.1 all the way to 5.7. And we also support MariaDB 5.5 and 10. And the kind of metrics you can expect to get from here is key cache, table cache, query cache. If you're using a storage engine like InnoDB, we also have optional metrics there as well. And in terms of extending your monitoring with MySQL, if you're using MySQL for custom applications, we've actually written the foundation for you to write an MP atop custom stored procedure monitoring. So you can have a stored procedure, go figure out, hey, how many comments do I have in a WordPress site? And we can go alert on that, and you have all the capabilities Ops Manager has in terms of making alerts for warning, critical, and you can build rules atop this custom stored procedure monitoring. And I'll show that actually during the demo as well. So stepping into the architecture, so like I said, there was the open management infrastructure server kind of as the center, our SIM server, and then the provider-based model for all the metrics such as operating system, file system, your Unix processes, and then MySQL Server just plugs in there as well. And then that provider communicates via the MySQL client libraries to your running MySQL Server instance. And the way it does that is there's an authentication file that you specify either during deployment or you can run an MP task later on to make sure that we can communicate with that MySQL Server running on the box. So taking a quick look at MySQL Server, so under monitoring, we'll scroll down here. We have new MySQL Server. We can look at what MySQL servers I have. So here I actually just have an instance of MySQL just auto-discovered. And then here I have a fully, it has the correct authentication file set, and it can communicate with that MySQL Server instance via the client libraries. And I can go ahead and I can set my default MySQL credentials if I want to do that. And I can then run an update discovery so I don't have to wait for the standard 4-hour discovery run. And then we also go out and discover all the databases you have running in your MySQL server. So any database there, as you can see, I have my MySQL database, information schema, performance schema, and then a WordPress database as well. And I have a critical alert here in the MySQL, and we'll come back to this. It's part of that stored procedure monitoring. And then I can look at alerts that have gone off. And then as well as just kind of the default performance data with key cache, query cache, table cache, and then some of the more kind of how many connections do I have, failed connection percentage, as well as storage as well. And so then taking a look at the stored procedure monitor, so I have written a stored procedure inside this MySQL database that's part of the MySQL server. I know it gets a little confusing there. And what this stored procedure does is it looks at the threads connected property for MySQL, and that just simulates how many users are connected to that MySQL server at a time. And I've written an alert, a monitor on top of that to say, you know, if two people aren't connected at all times, throw a critical warning. And so if I come over here and I take a look at the state change, you'll see I only have one. So if I go over here to my Linux server and I log in, you guys will see my MySQL password. It's root. Now I'm logged in. I should now have two threads connected. If I go to this monitor and I recalculate my health, we should see a healthy state because now it says there's two connections there and I should be now healthy, and I am. And under the same token, if I come over here and exit, if my MySQL admin isn't connected, I want to throw a warning. And I can go back to him and tell him, hey, do your job, connect to the MySQL server. I should see a critical. And I can see, I can get the information on why that alert is going off and what the number of connected threads there are. And lastly, you also have reporting, so you can go out and look at your performance over time. You can look at your availability over time. All of that has been included with the default MySQL management pack as well. So modern Apache HTTP servers, so the same style. You have a Apache HTTP server management pack. It has an Apache module and an OMI provider. So we actually chose not to use the default get status Apache or mod status Apache module. We decided that some of the metrics there were not as granular as we wanted to be, so we actually developed our own Apache module. And then you also have the OMI provider, which is very similar to the MySQL OMI provider. And we'll also dynamically discover Apache HTTP server there. We'll lay down the foundational bits, and we'll actually lay down the module itself. But in order for you to get the full monitoring, you'll actually have to restart your Apache HTTP server. We chose to do that because we didn't want to restart your Apache HTTP server for you. We thought that might be a little disruptive. Kind of what you'll get out of the box there is Apache, the virtual host, along with SSL certificate monitoring. And then we also have kind of a second monitoring called URL probes, where we'll actually look from an outside view how long it's taking to hit that website. And those are all optional and can be enabled from the management pack via MP overrides. And both the Apache HTTP server OMI provider and the MySQL OMI provider have been open sourced on GitHub. So if you're curious as to what's going on, what level of granularity am I getting with those performance metrics, you can always take a look there as well. And then taking a look at the architecture here. So you have the Ops Manager Linux agent, same provider-based model as MySQL. You have an Apache HTTP server provider this time. And we actually have a shared memory segment between our Apache module and our OMI provider that enables us to get all the statistics that we need. So like I said, we'll lay down the SIM provider, mod SIM prop, and you'll have to restart your Apache HTTP server in order for us to get fully equipped and get all those performance and health metrics. So taking a look at what Apache HTTP server looks like. So we have MySQL. We have Apache right here. So you have Apache HTTP server. You can see I am in a critical and warning state. We support Apache 2.2 all the way to Apache 2.4. And so I can, you know, I can get a good look as to, hey, what version am I running and what are my installed modules? You get a nice long list here of every module installed. And you can see that our mod SimProv is the first module that shows up on this list. That's probably too small. And then we also get a view into what the virtual hosts look like. And lastly, we then get some SSL certificate information as well. And this is great because you can then see here I have an expiration date of May 9th, 2015, and I'm giving off a critical warning here. So I can also have warnings to make sure that I'm updating my SSL cert as necessary. And some of the performance data, you get virtual host error rate, if you have 400 errors or 500 errors, all of that comes out of the box, and we make sure we're giving that per minute. And we also have response time. These are the URL probes that I was talking about. You can enable those and get some kind of good feature, another kind of monitoring-esque piece that is third-party versus us looking at the Apache HTTP server itself. And then we also have the same sort of reporting here as well, where you can run, you know, your virtual host response rate, your request per second, etc. So monitoring other applications, you know, what do I mean by other applications? So these are the non-open source applications. These are the commercial guys, your Oracle DB, your DB2s. We really feel that that's being handled really well by our partner network. So we always encourage people to look at the Ops Manager Management Pack catalog or approach one of our partners for some of these other commercial level applications. And so once again, on the open source side, Microsoft's really committed to making sure that we can manage all these open source applications. And on the commercial side, we really recommend going to a partner for a solution like that. And then lastly, you have extensibility via templates. So application monitoring is really nice, but if you want to get even more granular, you have log files, you have custom scripts that you've been running in Nagios for years. You know, how do I start bringing that into Ops Manager? How do I use that level of granularity versus all these applications? So the first one is log file monitoring. You can go specify a log file you want to monitor, use regex to go grab the specific pieces you need from there. Is there an error? Is there a warning in that log file? If so, give me an alert. You can, of course, target single or group of computers across all of these templates. You have the same level of targeting that most Ops Manager monitors have. And then you have process monitoring. So process monitoring goes out and it lets you look at all the processes running for a single Linux machine, and you can go and select one of those processes to monitor. And say you have, you know, Java, for example. Java processes is going to run, and it has, you know, so many. I have a Java process for Tomcat. I have a Java process for WebSphere. You can go use regex to select the specific process that you need from there. And then you can also specify minimum amount, so I need at least one to make sure my line of business is functioning, or you can have at least 10 because I have 10 virtual hosts on Apache and I need those to be there as well. And then new for 2016, we have script rules and monitors. So if you're familiar with our 2012 and 2012 R2 offerings, we had shell commands, and these could be single command lines you'd run that can return a variety of things. And we've gone out and made that a lot more robust. If you're familiar with the shell commands, sometimes you'd go put a quotation mark in there and all of a sudden things would start breaking. With our script templates, we've gone and actually base64 encoded the whole script. So we'll send that over, base64 encoded, unencode it, and then run it. And that can be shell, it can be bash, it can be Python, it can be Perl, it can be whatever script you want to run. And then we can go and specify, you know, I want the standard out to be red and it has to be this value, and the same Ops Manager expression builder functionality level there. And then, of course, this command line rules and monitors, those are the shell commands that I was just talking about for 2012 and 2012 R2. Single line that you run, health and performance metrics there. So what's new in System Center? Just kind of an all up. We'll talk about Configuration Manager first. Actually, just by a show of hands, who's using Configuration Manager out there? Awesome, awesome. And keep your hands raised if you're using Linux with Configuration Manager. No one. Okay. Okay. Well, here's what's new so that you can go start using Linux with Configuration Manager. Our clients are now packaged as native packages. Before, they were just tar files, and that wasn't the best thing, and we knew it. And so we've said, hey, guys, we know that wasn't the best, and we've actually gone out and fixed that. So now you're getting your native packages, your RPMs, your deb, your depots, your LPPs, your PKGs, depending on you're using Unix or Linux. And then also, Ops Manager and Config Manager clients share an OMI instance. So if I've been talking about OMI a bunch this whole time. That's version 1.06 on the 2012 R2 side. We have a new version coming out, 1.08 for Config Manager 2015 and Ops Manager 2016. And this new version allows us to share both your Config Manager client and your Ops Manager agent with the single OMI. Before, we had to do side-by-side OMI installations, and it was a bit ugly, but now we've gone out and remedied that fact, and now you'll have a single OMI instance per Ops Manager and Config Manager client. And then the next one is clients respect 80 site boundaries and content distributions. Our Linux clients did not do that before. We'd just go down the list of your DPs and we'd go and grab the first one on the list, whether it's here in New Zealand or out there in America, and we'd go and try to pull that, and that would be a pain. So now we've made sure that we respect AD site boundaries, and that's actually been implemented in 2012 R2 CU3 as of last October. And then lastly, just new Linux distributions. Our Linux distribution support is continuing to grow. We're making sure we're keeping up to date with the newest versions. So we have Red Hat 7, CentOS 7, Oracle 7, Ubuntu 14.04, 15.04 runs as well. We'll make sure 16.04 runs perfectly as well, and then SLES 12. We're just keeping up to date with the newest versions. Debian 8 release just had last April, and so we've made sure that we have accommodated that as well as 8.1 and 8.2 that have released. So then talking about Ops Manager 2016. So by a show of hands, how many people are out there using System Center Ops Manager? Okay, and then keep your hands raised if you're also using Linux. Okay, we got one. What was that?
Monitor Unix.
Yes. Monitor Unix. No, okay. Okay, well, this slide's for you guys as well. So before we had an option, or when we go do discovery, it had to be root, and your operations guy would go and say, hey, that's kind of crappy. I don't want to give all the root passwords to all the ops guys who are going out installing this. So we made sure that when you do a discovery, this time you can use run as credentials instead of having to give away all those credentials this time. And then we've also, with OMI 1.08, which is releasing once again for 2016 and 2015 Ops Manager Config Manager, that our executions are multi-threaded. So if you're familiar with OMI, we would go out and you run a shell command, and sometimes it start getting bogged up because the thread's already used from the thread pool on Ops Manager side. And we've made sure that now OMI is multi-threaded and can handle these simultaneous requests. And now you can also create shell command and or script diagnostic recovery tasks. So you can go in and specify if this process is no longer running, go run the service X start or service X restart and recover from whatever you need it to be. And that can be with the shell command or script template, as I mentioned before. The OMI installation sharing, already went over that. And the file system discovery, so our files, we've noticed some of our customers have hundreds and hundreds of file systems, and each one has its independent set of performance and availability metrics, and each one adds a bunch of workflows, and so it gets kind of congested when you can only have a couple hundred Linux, Unix machines per management server instead of a couple thousand because these file system objects start taking up all that space. So we made sure now you can go filter the file systems you actually want to monitor versus the ones that are monitored by default. And then lastly, new Linux distribution support. These are actually also released in our update rollups, which are every 3 months. You don't actually have to wait till 2016 to get these distribution support. These are happening at a much faster cadence than that. So a quick demo of the new Ops Manager features. Okay, so let's start off with discovery. So for those who use Ops Manager but don't use the Linux side, you can click this button finally and click the Unix Linux computers. Add a specific computer. And then you'll notice down here below, instead of me having to set credentials, I can actually just use the run as credentials, and I don't have to give away those credentials to the guy who's doing the discovery versus the guy who's actually operating. And that's nice, because we've heard that as a common complaint, and I have to go give those credentials away, and then I have to actually go change them because the ops guy can't have it. And then the next one is going to be the script command templates. These are new again. So if I look at I have a quick script that goes out and I separated out my DNS servers, and I can go test my DNS resolution. And what this is doing is it's just a quick script of, hey, am I getting an error or an OK for my DNS? And You can go run it as a task, and you can get the system output there. It's saying, hey, DNS is okay, it's true, all good and happy there. But the more interesting piece is to take that and then add a monitor on top. So I can go here in authoring. I can go down to monitors, and I can create a monitor. And I can go create a unit monitor. It can be for this scripting, it can be generic. And then I can go and select a two-state Unix Linux script monitor. And I'll go ahead and put that in this management pack, Linux DNS, Linux DNS. Target, once again, select a single one or a group. And there's my servers, bind DNS. I can roll it up under a specific piece, availability, configuration, whatever I need that health to roll up under. Can give a schedule, run every 15 minutes, and I'll use the exact same script I have here. And as a script argument, it's looking at a specific website to test. I'll give it Microsoft.com. And then you have a run as profile associated with that. You have an action account versus a privilege account. I'm just going to use the action account. And one thing the script templates also allow you to do is you can actually individually give pseudo authorization to a line and then have that come into varlog messages, your syslog, and audit that. Instead of having to pseudo authorize the whole script. So I can go in here and I can say, hey, error means that the output here would contain error. Okay. And then I could go in and specify for healthy, hey, it says okay. And I have a video of this because I knew demo days are here. And I could go specify error like I did here. And I could say I need that to be in standard out. I could go say OK in standard out if I want that. And then I can go put some specific alerting as well and give it, hey, I need a critical alert if this goes off versus a warning or healthy. And then you can also add specific pieces to that alert so I can actually get the data that was returned. So in this case, I'm getting actually the WSMAN data that was returned. And now when I go out and run that task, I can go see, hey, there's a healthy status versus an error status from that script. And as I ran that task, you saw I had a healthy status, so I would hope that it would return healthy. So connect. And what's actually going on here is for recovery tasks, we are going out and specifying, if I do actually have an error, how do I go make sure that I can recover from this. And what I'm doing is adding a shell command or a script command to go and say restart the named service. So I'm adding that piece to say, hey, if I do fail, run this script, and if I want this, if I want this alert piece attached on, I can go and run this script or shell command atop. And here it's adding the name D service as well. And so you can see service name D restart. I can specify the specific run as profile and run that. Go on to PowerShell DSC for Linux. So how many of you are familiar with PowerShell DSC? Okay, a few. Good. So let me just actually authenticate this real quick. See if I can get the second demo up, because it's a really cool demo to show for PowerShell DSC. So PowerShell DSC, or just PowerShell, or just DSC in general. It's, once again, a declarative configuration platform. You define an intended state via configuration file. Then you go out and compile it, and you get these MOF files. And using a push or pull model, your server can then go and say, hey, this is the state I must be in, and go act accordingly. And the difference between the push and pull model is the pull model includes a pull server that's running that allows you to put configuration up there, and then all your nodes, whether it's 1 or 1,000, can go see, hey, is there a new configuration there, versus the push where it's directly onto the server. It also allows you to protect against configuration drift. So if you have a specific rule for your firewall on Linux, for example, we can make sure that that route table is set accordingly. And if it chooses to change itself, we can change it back to what it needs to be. And then there's a nice quote there of making sure that, hey, DSC allows it to be idempotent, repeatable, use standard-based managed elements. And we actually released PowerShell DSC for Linux. The first version was released at Ignite in Chicago. The source code is available via GitHub. We require OMI, the same one I've been talking about for Ops Manager and Config Manager. It uses the 108 instance. And we're making sure that when you get that 108 instance for Config Manager, or Ops Manager, or DSC, all three are going to play nicely and use that same exact instance. And then in terms of what Linux distributions we support, we have CentOS, Debian, Oracle Linux, Red Hat, all the same ones we do on the System Center side as well. And then in terms of the implementation, on the Windows side, you have a local configuration manager with the WMI v2 provider. On the Linux side, we have an OMI provider, local configuration manager, and Linux resource providers actually written in Python. So we can go out and look at specific resources. The resources here are listed, are built in. These are some of the 10 that we thought our customers needed right off the bat. These include, you know, archive, your file, specific file lines. So if I have a MySQL configuration file, I also want to make sure that a line in that file is exactly this versus just seeing that file present. You have NX package, which makes sure that RPM, Debian, or Zipper apt-get piece is there. We'll actually make sure and check. We can go out and grab it as well. User, seeing if a user is present, what that user ID is, all of these fun little things that mix in with the group as well. And then there's just general script pieces, so you can insert arbitrary scripts to run inside your configuration file that will work on Linux, as well as just services, making sure that something has started using either the init, upstart, or systemd startup platform. And then just environment variables, what environment variables are defined, Java home, for example, for the Java application servers, is that pointing to the correct JDK? And then SSH authorized keys, so you can log in via another machine if needed. And you can see we have push and pull support, custom resource pull, and then partial config support as well. So an example DSC configuration. So this, you'll specify your node, whether it's one node or 1,000, and then you can go in and choose those resources I elaborated on before, such as HTTPD package, is Apache HTTP server installed, ensure that's present. Is it, if it's not, use the package manager yum to go grab that package and install it on Linux. Mod SSL, is that installed? No, use yum. And then you can say, besides just having the package installed, is that service running? And if not, make sure it is. So you can see I have HTTPD running. Is it enabled? It's true. And I'm using the init controller. So a quick demo of this. Let's see if I can connect back. If not, I have a video that's equally as cool. But it's cool to show in person. Oh, yes, perfect. Okay, cool. Here we are. So I have a WordPress site. And I decided, you know, forget it. I'm just going to tear it down, and I'm going to use DSC to rebuild it. So I actually restored my whole entire VM from a VMM checkpoint, and now it's brand new, has nothing there. It's fresh, and it's ready to go. And so what I'm going to first do is I'm going to take this configuration that I've defined, which is here, and I'm going to push it out to a pull server. And what this configuration has is really familiar to what was just seen in the last slide, where I'm saying I want to have Apache, I want to have some SE Linux settings there, and I want to make sure that specific config files are present and have a specific write file mode atop of them. And then, since I'm pulling it to a pull server, we check every 30 minutes to see if there's a new config, and while I would love to wait another 30 minutes here, I will just go ahead and force that. And while that's being forced, let's actually go and log into the Linux guy. And let's see, hey, is Apache HTTP there? And it is not. So what this pull update is going to do is it's going to go out there and say, hey, do I have Apache installed? The answer is no, and I want to make sure that that is running, and so it's going to go grab that. Then it's going to actually go grab the WordPress package and install that as well. And you can see here, if we walk through the config, we could look at the config files. You can look at, hey, if I have some additional PowerScript lines there to check if the MAF file is not found, what do we do? Look at putting the WordPress file in the correct place, in the correct virtual host. And this usually, I mean, it's going out and downloading and installing. It'll take here a couple more minutes or a couple more seconds. And to check on if it's working, we can keep looking and seeing if Apache is installed. And it is, so Apache's there. Let's wait a couple more seconds here and wait for the PowerShell script to finish. I'm impatient, so I'm going to just refresh it. And there we go. We have a WordPress site set up within just a couple clicks and a configuration set. So it's really powerful. You can do a lot of things for deployment. You can also use this for continuous deployment. If you make a check-in, PowerShell DSC can go grab the latest package from the latest check-in and then go deploy that via the pull server every 30 minutes if you would like. So in summary, Microsoft is committed to running and managing Linux in the heterogeneous data center. You know, we know that you're running Windows or you're running Linux. We want to make sure that our tools are out there to serve both. And we also have Linux as an integral part of our offerings right alongside Windows. We're making sure that as we keep going forward, that when we go out and develop our new features, that we're targeting Linux as a first-class citizen versus a privileged second-class citizen. And so thank you very much. If any of you guys are interested in talking to the product team about Linux for Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, I'd love to take down your info. We're starting up more conversations with our customers, trying to get more data there. So if you're interested in something like that, please come up here. And I also have buttons and stickers that say Microsoft Love Linux. So if you want some of these, please come up and grab those as well. Thank you very much.